Attorney General Jeff Sessions' testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee got off to an awkward start when the committee went to administer the oath and asked if he could please stand, and he had to point out that he was already standing. The Trump Report starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
What's up, Mike?
Oh, they're not anything up, Bugs. Nobody here but us monkeys.
So let's make some friends.
Hey, let's make some Kool-Aid.
Make friends with Kool-Aid. Make Kool-Aid with friends. Make friends with Kool-Aid. More groove that never ends. Make friends with Kool-Aid. Make Kool-Aid with friends. Make friends with Kool-Aid.
When you get crazy thirsty, have a glass of Kool-Aid. It's cool.
Make some Kool-Aid soft drink.
You can always do with another friend.
Yes, it wouldn't have been a commercial from the 60s without some subtle or blatant racism. Welcome to the Trump Report. I was looking for a song about Kool-Aid or a Kool-Aid jingle, and instead of finding a Kool-Aid nugget, I found Kool-Aid Gold, that commercial with the monkeys and Bugs Bunny. No Kool-Aid Man, who I was really expecting to have. But we will talk a little bit about an administration that pretty much insists that you drink the Kool-Aid in a little bit. But first and foremost, welcome to the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt. At Christian DMZ, joined as always by at Chelsea Galicia, but that's not your name. Your name is actually just Chelsea Galicia.
That is true. Thank you for clarifying.
Back from the frozen tundra of Alaska, where he had many brunches with Sarah and Todd Palin, Scott Moore at SMan80. Thank you for being back with us. I see that you tracked a little snow in on your walk-in, because it does snow year-round in Alaska.
It's good to be back.
There's not really anything to talk about this week, so we should probably just wrap up the show, right? Kidding! How about the Sessions testimony, guys? What about that? You know, I think that people that were looking for, I don't know, the Attorney General to tell us whether or not the president had made any criminal statements in front of him were disappointed. Chelsea, as our recovering attorney, he didn't really invoke privilege.
Good correction.
He said that he wanted to give the president an opportunity to invoke privilege, so he didn't want to basically take that away from him. Where is the legal grounds for what Attorney General Sessions did? And by the way, he was referred to several times as General Sessions. And I'm like, no, that guy looks the least like a general. You have to always say Attorney General Sessions. He's not a general of any kind. A Surgeon General, I would call a general, but not that Attorney General who, as our friend Scott there on the end pointed out, has spent many years representing Keebler Land in the elf tree. Anyway.
No legal basis.
Yeah.
And he kind of just was like, well, maybe the president would like to invoke the executive privilege, and there may be other privileges to be had. I don't know. Is he saying that maybe there's a Fifth Amendment privilege in there? But if you...
That was what I took away from that. He's, you know, basically saying, like, look, there's all sorts of things he might need to, you know,
or that Jeff Sessions himself needs to invoke the Fifth Amendment.
But if he needed to invoke the Fifth... I guess this is not the kind of hearing where you need to do that. This is just the Senate's like, I got some questions for you. And, of course, you're under oath, and you shouldn't lie.
Yeah.
But...
So next up is subpoenaed testimony, because this was him testifying as a result of a request for him to come before the Senate Intelligence Committee. So if they subpoena him and he still refuses to answer, then he could be held in contempt. Probably not going to happen. But
right. And would this Senate Intelligence Committee issue a subpoena to demand?
That I think so, yes.
Okay. They at least want to hear. Yeah, I mean, because
for sure.
Even Marco Rubio and John McCain seemed like they actually wanted to know a little bit more.
Yeah, John McCain seemed like this Russia thing is a serious thing. And Jeff Sessions was like, yeah, it really is. And so I was surprised by how impassioned he was in discussing how big of a problem it actually is.
Yeah. Scott, your overall impressions. There's so much to talk about this week, but let's start with just what Sessions had to say today. During the session.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised because I knew pretty much, like you were saying, Chelsea, is that he was not going to say anything incriminating or, I don't recall. So many things that he kept saying, like, I don't recall, I can't remember.
I used to be, like, smug when I had clients do that. I don't remember, I don't recall thing. I mean, that's one of the big instructions that I would give my clients before going in for a deposition is if you don't know the answer to the exact question that they're asking, you don't fix the question for them. Mm-hmm. You don't, like, give an answer that's, like, sort of... like maybe what they actually meant. You don't interpret it. If you don't know, you say that you don't know, and that's fair and that's legal and that's how you do it. But this much, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, if you really don't recall that much, perhaps you shouldn't be the attorney general.
Exactly. That's how I mean, that's the one thing I took off of it, but I wasn't surprised because he didn't want to say anything where his words could be twisted or something could come out where he's now incriminating himself or others. So I knew that, you know, he was going to say that as many times as he could.
And because of how careful he was, I don't know, I'm speaking for myself, I felt like what he did say today is all factual because of how careful he was to not say anything else, you know, in terms of how many times he met with people. And then there were definitely a few, I can't recall, so...
Yeah, and especially because it was public, and I think that's another reason why he kind of wanted to be public is so that he could be even more careful and not say anything or have the senators probe him on anything more deeper than what they were willing to be comfortable to do public. So, because a lot of people said, well, if he's going to do it public, then that means he has, you know, less to hide or whatever. I said, no, it's really the opposite. It's to make it easier so the senators are not going to ask him anything that's classified or anything that's too sensitive. And it's a chance for him to be safer with his responses and the I don't recalls or I don't remember. So to me, it didn't really scratch the surface of what is really happening, but it's a good start. And I do agree with you, Chelsea. I think he will be subpoenaed at some point. I think this is just the beginning of this, especially when they're public, because they're going to want to go deeper and ask more classified and more detailed information.
Right, and it was also a great coming out party for Ron Wyden and Martin Heinrich, who both got into it with him. I think Ron Wyden was the one that actually really ruffled Sessions' elf-like feathers, and you know, over the stonewalling. And then there was sort of this whole idea for, you know, just how many times it was said, like, why don't you explain what the precedent is that you don't tell us about your conversations with the president. And I mean, here's the thing is that, you know, I guess in the situation he didn't have to, you know, so it's like, no, it's all right. It's like basically saying, you know, a cop shows up, is like, well, we'll be able to go get a warrant. It's like, okay, great. Go get that warrant. You know, let's make you take that extra step. Give me a little time to get my ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Run off to Russia if I need to, or perhaps
if we can get the chat up, I'd love to see what the folks in that room are saying about what they heard today.
They're probably still in awe of that Kool-Aid commercial, but I would like to, I would love to hear what the chat thinks of it, especially if our pal Storage Yard resident is there. But I feel like he was too busy at the Storage Yard and probably didn't have time to watch this. This was sort of, you know, late morning or no, it was like basically noontime Pacific time. But it was, you know, people definitely gave it their all, those asking questions. And it was interesting to see Jeff Sessions get so fiery because it's not something that you're used to.
I don't think, I mean, has he ever, I mean, Mr. Facts Man would know here. Has he, it feels like he was just like, just floored that he would be asked these kinds of questions and these like allegations of, I mean, really strongly denied all these things, which... you actually are not supposed to do either. No attorney is going to say, give a really impassioned denial. Just if something is not accurate, you just say no.
Right, just a very factual.
But because he was so like forceful, it sounded to me like the words, the emotions of a guilty person.
I know, exactly. Well, that's how I thought. I was like, let's just act and make it really more over the top to be like, oh, I didn't.
And just using some fancy creative words and like, how dare you ask me that question?
I think he presented it
very well.
No. That those allegations were appalling and a detestable lie. I think when he gets worked up like that, it's like, oh, well, there's obviously a reason he's so angry.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And I don't think he ever in a million years thought that he would be the one on the witness stand.
Yeah.
He's used to being the U.S. attorney. He can't be that used to being attorney general because he hasn't had the job for long.
But senator for years and used to being the one asking the questions, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Sort of being the boss in that sense and being the one in control. So it's sort of the job has kind of switched a little bit there, and now the role's reversed a little bit.
And I don't think he liked it very much.
No, I don't think so. And what it really came down to is he said that he has never met with or had any conversations with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election. Well, that's probably true, because Jeff Sessions wouldn't be something like... I'm not even saying that something like that definitely happened, but if it did, Jeff Sessions isn't the guy that's going to have that conversation, you know? Now, he says, I have no knowledge of any such conversations by anyone connected to the Trump campaign. Well, there you go. He has no knowledge of anyone connected to the campaign. Oh, I know about these other guys. No, but, you know, it's all obviously...
And his meeting at the
Mayflower
RNC.
Hotel?
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what he was trying to say there.
I don't think he understood what he was trying to say.
No, I think it was... I also felt like he was just trying to say a bunch of things, and then maybe it's just now too confusing, because he didn't... I felt like he didn't even know what to say, and then it got so confusing that then now anyone else listening wouldn't know what he was trying to say either.
Yep.
He did make an interesting point that he says that he has confidence in Mr. Mueller, but he's not going to discuss any hypotheticals. He had no idea if President Trump supports Mueller. He hasn't talked to him about it, which is interesting. You'd think he would probably have talked to him about it.
We know that Trump is pissed at Sessions for recusing himself, or that's the reported reason.
Supposedly. That's at least part of it. And, maybe they're not talking right now. So the other thing that I wanted to make sure we got to in terms of Sessions' comments was when he was talking about the leaks, and he says, some of these leaks, as you well know, are extraordinarily damaging to United States security. This has already resulted in investigations. Some people may find they wish they hadn't leaked.
Mm.
Who's he talking to?
I took it as more sort of like the bluster that, like, Trump is known to do, and I felt like that was something they wanted him to do so that way it would scare people if... You know, make it seem like they know or whatever the case is. The same thing with Trump with the Comey tapes and all that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bluster and a lot of threats to, you know, that's their way of controlling is by doing threats and bullying.
The other big point before we actually move on is the fact that he basically reinforced Comey's statement from last week that Comey was indeed asked to be alone with President Trump, was uncomfortable about it, spoke to Attorney General Sessions about it the next day and was like, don't put me in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, that's probably, just imagine if only Billy Bush had said that. You know, it said, don't leave me alone with Trump.
He would still be working
today.
He'd
be working on the Today Show. You know, maybe he'd get to interview Alex Jones, but that's a conversation for another time.
Aye, aye, aye.
So, lordy, 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 we did indeed have James Comey. And I think that, that's a little telling, and that it's even Jeff Sessions is like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie about that, because there were other people that were in that room. So, you know, he was like, yes, I was the last one to leave before that. So, you know, you had probably like five people who would have. You know, if he had said that, I don't recall that, well, then he's not lying. But then you'd probably have found people who did recall. And so he might as well give that little kernel of information.
Anchor it with the truth.
Yeah.
Lie about everything else.
Lie about everything else. Would you put that in there? It's like,
truth.
Yeah.
And then
Comey'd already said it. And it's like, we'll back that part up. And, you know, Comey, for his part, said that he took the president at his word that he was fired because of the FBI's investigation into Russian election meddling.
Of course he was.
But that's President Trump's, you know, earlier word. Right. That's not what he's saying now.
Right.
Yeah, so he's taking him at, you know, the sort of the rough draft of his opinion. You know, he basically took his emotional Etch-a-Sketch and shook it and then drew a new picture where that wasn't what happened at all. Sort of an overall look at the Comey hearing, Scott. What did you think?
Well, I think, you know, again, because it was public, that there's only so much that could be said, and it was kind of fascinating that there was a lot of times where Comey's like, I can't say this in a public setting. So
I know, which was that stuff.
There's like really good stuff because they can't say in a public session.
I'll tell you after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, so I love that because I thought, ooh, there's some good juicy stuff that we don't know about. And then I also, he blatantly called out the president as a liar. I mean, he basically said he was a liar, and it's true. And the thing I found interesting was the next day when, you know, Trump denied the whole thing about asking for his loyalty. He was also very weird in that press conference and said, why would I ask someone to do the Pledge of Allegiance? It was like a weird way of being able to say something different, so he wasn't blatantly lying.
Yeah, why would I ask someone to say the Pledge of Allegiance?
It was weird.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Why
so
would you?
That was like a way that he could kind of get around the blatant lie, because I do think he did ask for his loyalty, because we saw that whole, which we'll get to later, about the whole cabinet meeting and that
whole.
Can't
wait to talk about that.
Let's all, like, praise dear leader. So, to me, I'm like, yes, he would have asked for his loyalty, especially if everyone had left the room. It's just them having dinner, and the whole thing is weird. So, but I thought Comey did a great job, and what I would have expected him to do, very measured and very, you know, but without getting too deep into things.
I thought he was very measured, but I also was surprised, actually, by how forthcoming he appeared. Mm-hmm. He would expand on things, and, you know, like, so what I was thinking at the time, I think he gave away more than I thought he would. Mm-hmm. He talked about feelings, which I didn't think he would do.
Right.
Feeling uncomfortable, mm-hmm. feeling, you know, concerned, worried. I thought he came off as incredibly credible. I thought it was really interesting how afterwards I managed to work up the nerve to turn on like Sean Hannity for just like just a couple seconds, because I wanted to see mm-hmm. what the other side was saying.
Right. And my impression is that both sides had some good takeaways mm-hmm. from it, because the right was very interested in the comments he made about Loretta Lynch and the
right.
Hillary
and,
Clinton investigation.
And the New York Times article, which, you
but
know, Comey said, no, that wasn't true.
The right was very focused on their win that Comey had on three separate occasions told Trump that he wasn't under investigation. Mm-hmm. That part kind of, sort of.
Right.
Then what I saw Hannity turn to was, well, if James Comey witnessed a felony, he is under obligation to report it. And so they posted, like, the law of the language of the law about having to report a felony. So if he really did witness obstruction of justice, Comey should be up for a felony for not reporting it. And it just was so off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, ask any lawyer. And I was like,
no, I can,
well, that's how you know you're freaking lying, because
right.
I'm one and I don't agree.
Right.
So I just...
And how do you know that he had... Then that was part of the thing, too, because this was a public session. You don't know what else has been going on and what other things in the investigation are happening, and with obstruction of justice or whatnot. Like, there's a lot of other things going on that we as a public aren't privy to at this moment.
My other, like, did that really happen moment of watching the Comey testimony was John McCain.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes. I was like, is he having a stroke right in front of us?
When he went to speak today, I was like, actually stopped what I was doing. I'm like, all right, we're going to get more.
Yeah.
Today was, you know, today.
Today was actually, a good
last
day.
Last week was the dress rehearsal. This was this was the live
today,
show.
Today, I agreed with, like, you know, where
right,
he was going.
Today he had a good day.
I don't know how many. You could watch that thing 5-6 times and not really know exactly what he was trying to get to.
For some reason, he wants to equate... The whole campaign
right.
should still be an open investigation. The Trump campaign
right. and the Clintons
with the Russia thing, and that maybe Clinton should also have an investigation with Russian interference. Why is it that she's already off the hook? That investigation
right.
is closed. And Comey tried to say, well, because it was about a different issue. It was about
right.
an email server. And McCain wouldn't give it up. He doubled down.
He was
and was
fixated
like,
on it.
This is I see this as a double standard.
Right.
Or,
and he said, why was this already done at this amount of time? And this other investigation with Trump is still ongoing. I'm like, they're two separate things. Like, what? It was very bizarre.
Yeah, and
he was fixated on the Clinton thing, which had nothing to do with
it. It was made so much weirder because he's like, well, I was a little off yesterday because the Diamondbacks game went late.
Yeah, and I didn't sleep well or something.
It did not help at all.
I mean, you know, it's one of the single most admirable things about anyone who's ever held elective office is, you know, how when he was a prisoner of war, he could have actually gone home right mm-hmm. away, but he stayed there with his men, and you hear the account mm-hmm. of how terrible it was. So he was able to live through that, but the Diamondbacks game doesn't even go into extra innings, and he's just like, I can't sleep.
Right. You know? I didn't get enough sleep. But granted, he's 80 years old or 81 or whatever, and it's different than when he was there 40 years ago, but that's not the point. It was very bizarre, and I really did. I was watching. I was like, is the man having a stroke? I really was thinking that in my head. Is there some medical thing going on? Because he was weirdly talking about things and it didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
And he then became very fixated on that and then kept fixating on the time that it took to go through the Clinton investigation, why that was done. So then this should be done in the same amount of time. I was like, what does that have to do with that? One doesn't have to do with the other.
Our friend in the chat, R. Scott Brown, not Senator, former Senator Scott Brown, says McCain took his Geritol today. He took shrooms last week.
No. Shrooms would not make you.
Tell us more,
like
Chelsea. What would happen if you took shrooms on this show next week?
Yes, next week you'll be on shrooms when you're on the show, yeah. Right? So then we'll see how that...
That gives shrooms a bad name. I don't stand for that.
That's my favorite Bon Jovi song. You give shrooms a bad name. Now, the sort of the big takeaway, the thing that obviously the left and... You know, some in the media who some would say that the media is also the left. Comey said that President Trump was not accurate mm-hmm. when he denied ever asking Comey to back off on the FBI mm-hmm. investigation into Michael Flynn. Not accurate is a very nice way to say he lied.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's a nice, it's like he misremembered, mm-hmm. you know. Right. And
my other favorite defense of Trump that came out of this was. President Trump only said to Comey that he hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Hope. Mm-hmm. Hope. That's not...
That's not demanding...
Right. That's not an order.
Order. That's just
being
wishful.
When the guy who can fire you at any time
yes.
says, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and Kamala Harris pointed out, you can point a gun to somebody's head and say, I hope you give me your wallet.
Right.
These private conversations that President Trump has had with James Comey and Jeff Sessions... Sort of the way that they account them sound like, you know, when people go to HR and talk about sexual harassment. You know, they were cornered. They were made to feel uncomfortable. You know, may or may not have happened previously in the Trump organizations. I don't know. I'm just saying it may have. It might be something that he's had some experience with. Maybe not himself. Maybe people he's worked for. And you should kind of know that, let's not make people that uncomfortable. But that's his thing. I mean, we saw those handshakes and those hugs and pushing people out of it. So making people uncomfortable, I guess, is a big part of President Trump.
Of course. That's his thing. And the bullying and the threats. And that's what he's used to doing to get his way. So
and
that's
I saw
just part
James
of this.
Comey sort of call himself out. Like, he was asked, why didn't you, if you felt uncomfortable with what he was saying, why didn't you... You know, stop him. And why, when he asked you, you know, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this Flynn thing go, he's a good guy, his response was, yeah, he is a good guy.
Yeah.
Or not even, mm-hmm. yeah, he's, but just, yeah, Flynn is a good guy.
Mm-hmm. And backtracking to the thing you said earlier about, you know, the people on the right were sort of bandying about the fact that Comey told Trump he's not under investigation. If you are under investigation, wouldn't it behoove you to say you're not under investigation? That's like, mm-hmm. you know, deep undercover drug deal. Like, hey, you're not an undercover cop, are you? And at
you're
that
like,
point,
yeah,
actually I am.
I know, exactly.
You got me. All right, guys, you can keep the drugs and the money. I'm just going to go walk out. Yeah. So I think that just because he told him that, you know, doesn't...
Well, and I also took it as just because he told him that doesn't mean he's not or not will be under investigation at some point, because it's still an ongoing that maybe at that exact moment back in January, it was still too soon to know how involved he was. So maybe at that exact moment, he was not at that moment under investigation. But to me, I read it as he still could be at some point. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be or that they're not going to find something that will... bring him into
them.
So, you know, I didn't take that as like being some kind of vindication to Trump at all.
In the chat, Karen Love says, hey, I've just joined. Does anyone in America ever think about other politics like in the UK, or is it always just USA? Nope, just the USA.
Well,
so
actually,
what do you get? No, we do. It was a show
called Political Culture.
Yes.
Yeah.
And but we have a lot that we need to talk about, but
the UK election
UK
was
elections did happen. It was very interesting. But
I wish we could do snap elections here. Can we bring those here, please?
Yeah. If just imagine in our lifetimes, if we were able to do no confidence votes,
yeah,
you know, for either party, by the way,
yeah,
you know,
of course,
there have been absolutely been opportunities like, oh yeah, we this guy's got to go, you know.
But elections would be the best thing right now. We can get rid of everyone.
Yeah, and this show would be a lot more fun. But yeah, the thing about the UK election,
which we were going to talk about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we absolutely were, because we had ample time. It's sort of inconclusive, because if she's able, Theresa May is able to build a coalition, it's going to be shaky. But, you know, so we'll keep an eye on it,
yes,
though.
Yes, she's on shaky
just
ground.
Just for you.
She's on shaky ground.
She's definitely on shaky ground. Anyway, so please let us know in the chat what you think about the Comey and Sessions hearings. And also tweet us at Trump Report ABTV. I haven't said it yet
I think
this whole show.
We haven't talked about how, because these two were so close in time, people have a good memory of each one of them as compared to the other.
Yeah.
And you can tell what a good witness is like and what a witness who's trying to hide something mm-hmm. looks like. I mean, it's just such a stark difference that I think even an amateur should be able to tell that Comey was a great witness and that Sessions was a shady one.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I also think, you know, Comey has the experience of working so closely with the FBI, that knowing how all that works. And also didn't really have anything to hide. And I also felt like there was a sort of a more of a freedom, which to me, maybe he was a little bit more free to even express his emotions, which I was surprised about. But I thought maybe because he was no longer in that job, that he had a little bit more freedom and a little bit more, you know, ability to feel like he could speak a little bit more openly than he might have if he was still the current FBI director. He might have been like...
He even said he leaked a document.
Yeah.
Which that was something that surprised me, because I was like, wait, is he able to do that? Is he, you know...
Yeah, no, he
well,
technically, I mean...
Because
it wasn't top secret. Right, it was his, and then he felt, again, because Donald Trump's tweeting crap out there, that then he felt the need to be proactive to get that out. Since he made that tweet.
Because he didn't do what Reality Winner did. Mm-hmm. That's all right. I just wanted to mention her because I still love that name. We want to make sure that we get to this amazing Trump cabinet meeting that was held yesterday and the blessings of serving almighty President Trump. I don't think the word almighty was used, but blessings was. Mm-hmm. It starts off weird with President Trump saying, never has there been a president with few exceptions, which right there you got to put the brakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Never. With few exceptions. Yeah. So there has been a president...
Like the 44... Or 43, really, because
there's
been...
Who's passed more legislation, who's done more things than I have in the first, I believe, was 143 days.
Never with few exceptions.
Not only does he never with few exceptions bang his own drum, then unexpectedly, everyone in the cabinet basically takes the Pledge of Allegiance that we alluded to earlier. The... carefully written out for each individual person. Reince Priebus is the one who talked about how blessed they are to serve President Trump and his agenda. It was very Stepford Wives, very to go to our theme of Kool-Aid tastes great, a little Jim Jones. And what did you think, Chelsea, when you either saw or just read about
it? I just heard about it and cringed.
Yeah.
I would not have been able to keep watching it. I just... like.
Well, I heard about it after the fact, and then I was like, oh, I'm watching this. I was like...
I get really uncomfortable when I watch people blatantly lie. Like, I'm embarrassed for them. And so I just... I can't.
You just can't. But, I mean, I guess it goes back to the idea that, of course, everybody has to drink the Kool-Aid if you're part of it, and you know, as James Comey found, is like, you gotta be a company man. You gotta have a big smile about being a company man. Basically, you need to look like the Kool-Aid man. You gotta have that big red smile.
I mean, so was this what Trump was doing instead of tweeting during the Comey testimony? He was writing out all the great things that people were going to say about him. Is that what he was using to distract himself?
It may very well have been. Although I feel like, you know, somebody else wrote these. You know, actually, it would be funny if everybody was given a homework assignment. You know, it's like, write a 500-word essay as to why I'm great, and the best get read on mm-hmm. national TV. Mm-hmm. Scott, your thoughts about that? I mean, nothing surprises you anymore.
No, it was incredibly creepy.
Even that,
it was creepy.
I like to say nothing surprises me anymore, but that surprised me.
No,
it just went on as long as it did,
and it felt like one of those third world countries with the military leader that everyone's going to go around and say how wonderful he is.
Oh my gosh, this is frightening.
And it was just very.
Do they do that in North Korea?
Dear leader.
Where Dennis Rodman is now?
Yes.
Yes. It was very creepy. And once again, the ego of him is just, he needs that constant validation. And it's disgusting. It really is. I mean, the blatantly lie about all the things that he's done. And now, like, even his surrogates go out and start tweeting or talking to the media just about all the things that he's talked about that are now somehow accomplishments. You know, they're trying to do these themed weeks, and all of a sudden, because he's talking about an infrastructure plan, he's talking about this and that, that it's like accomplishments. I'm like, nothing has happened.
Yeah.
Just because you're saying it, it didn't actually happen.
We announced a hashtag for each week.
The thing about themed weeks is it works really well for Wheel of Fortune. So I think it would work really well for those of us here in the United States.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling to me. And that the fact that they keep peddling the stuff to the point to where people are just like, oh, we don't care anymore. And I don't even know how he has any support left. I don't know how people are feeling like, oh, this is great. Like, he's doing so much stuff, which, you know, we talk about approval ratings and polls and everything, too. It's a whole separate thing, but it's just now it's gotten to the point that now they just post stuff that he's talked about, and somehow that's great.
Yeah, well, it was interesting that you mentioned North Korea, because I wasn't going to mention this, but it was something that I was reading about, was the American student who had been sentenced to 15 years of hard labor, who was sent home for humanitarian reasons mm-hmm. because he mysteriously ended up in a coma mm-hmm. because he tried to steal a propaganda poster, mm-hmm. which... It's like the kid who got caned in Singapore.
Yep.
You got to know what you're doing when you go somewhere like that. Don't think that you're going to be funny and steal a poster. You know, if you want to try and sneak a picture of it, that's probably one thing. But even that, I don't know. I would not go to North Korea, period. Even if Rodman offered to, you know, let me...
Fly you first class and have what's the burger that the North Korean airline has like that weird mystery burger?
I read his trip is being sponsored by a currency, like a Bitcoin type currency mm-hmm. for
Rodman Bucks?
Marijuana.
Oh, well, hello.
Interesting, right?
Oh, they're going to try to do...
I think it was called Potcoin.
Are they trying to grow marijuana
in like
North Korea
name,
as a new
Potcoin.
Product?
I'm thinking of investing in Potcoin all of a sudden.
You know, actually, the article I read was like a Business Insider, and it said that they're... You know,
so judging from the comments that Chelsea's made tonight, I feel like you got information from Sean Hannity because you're a great American. And number two, you seem to read High Times magazine. But anyway, that's just an assumption. I'm not
and your big mushroom aficionado.
Shroom Quarterly.
Shroom.
Yeah, the Shroom magazine
quarterly.
Doesn't come out every month.
Shroom
Quarterly.
Shroom Quarterly.
But anyway, so my point about mentioning North Korea is obviously... that guy's a pig. We should never do any deals with him. And then, of course, it just always reminds me of the
Castro
brothers.
Which one? Because I get confused between
be
Trump
anybody.
And that. Could be
but I'm talking about Kim Jong-un. And it just reminds me of guys like Castro, who I think are just bad guys. And Raul Castro, not much better. So you hear about these things, and, you know, I guess North Korea feels like they can, you know, give a mystery pill to an American citizen who's there for 15 years of hard labor, and then be like, oops, so I guess we broke him. You can have him back now.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's a terrible story. That's the point.
Yeah,
of that.
I did read about that today. Going back to that, I was just going to say it's kind of scary to see where our government is headed when we have cabinet meetings like that. Can you imagine... can you just imagine for a second if that was a Hillary Clinton as president and how much people on the right would be freaking out listening to that kind of that was garbage. I mean, that was ridiculous. And again, it's for his ego. I also thought Wilbur Ross looked like he was half dead. I was like, what is he doing? I felt like he was being propped up, and he just seems really out of it.
Oh, God, I'm glad I
Do you think
watch.
It's a Weekend at Bernie's situation? Mm. It's just something to think about for next week.
It's odd to have someone like that running the commerce department. He's like 80 years old and doesn't seem to know what's going on either. But yeah, it was really disgusting that they were doing that. I really do. It's not what we should be doing. And
I mean, they can say whatever they want, but it was just like,
no, it's just creepy.
They're spending so much time with it, and it's just like, you're getting this opportunity instead of talking about how great he is. These really impressive, never with a few exceptions that have been accomplished. Great, just brag about those, not the guy who says he did them. Just tell us all those things that are so great. Let's hear them.
Right.
And if you have so many great accomplishments, then this is a perfect opportunity.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like going around the department heads when you're in a meeting and explaining, this is what we've been doing, and this is what we're... Instead, it was all going back to him. It'd be like going and praising your boss for every little thing, and thank you, boss, for giving me the opportunity to do this for you, and it was bizarre.
Which is a great time to mention why everyone should watch Kevin Undergaro on The Tomorrow Show, Mondays and Thursdays.
I thought he was going to ask us to say something kind about him.
I'm not anybody's boss. I'm just a humble servant in the glow of our blessed Trump. White House...
I was going to say Kevin.
I did too. We're both...
No, I don't. Yes, I would say great things about Kevin. No problem.
No, yeah.
Yes.
Is that what you want us to do right
now? No. That's not. It was just a joke.
We have to go around the table.
Right. Next week, I want 500 words from everybody about why Kevin's so great. And the short answer is because we're here.
Yes.
That's why we get to be here. And you get to review multiple episodes of Orange is the New Black right after this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
You're on the after show for Orange is the New Black.
Back to back.
What episodes are you doing?
One and two.
So great. If you haven't started yet, go start tonight.
Right now.
And then go look right back.
Yep. I've been doing since the beginning.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Mm-mm. I just thought I'd work that plug in there.
Thank you for the plug.
The travel ban was blocked once again, and now the White House wants a little bit more time to prepare for this Supreme Court argument. And the way that they're going to file it, basically the Supreme Court will get it on the last day of this current session. Mm-hmm. It's next week or the week out. I think it's the end of
next
week.
Yeah, end of June, yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of June. So they won't really get to it because of this extension. They won't get to it until October for this travel ban, which is very important, as we've been told many times, in keeping us safe. Do you think, Scott, that President Trump's kind of over the travel ban? He just needs to act like, he doesn't want to back down from one of the things that was supposed to be a signature piece of legislation. But he certainly doesn't seem that passionate about it if they're letting it be backburnered all the way to Halloween.
I think we have to correct even calling it legislation.
Well, whatever it is.
Let's remember how much crap he gave the last president for issuing executive orders.
It was so long ago, I don't even remember who the last president was. I think he was handsome, though.
Are you hanging out with John McCain these days? What is with this?
Yeah, we were. I don't recall who the last
president
was.
John McCain and I were at the D-backs game doing shrooms.
I don't remember.
So, Chelsea, is this, again, recovering attorney, is this smart for them to get their ducks in the row and have, literally 4 months to prepare?
Try all you can. Mm-hmm. But what was interesting about... what the Supreme Court has or not the Supreme Court, a court. Wow, I should really sleep more. a court has said that you can take Trump's tweets seriously, and they really do consider what he tweets.
Yes.
So if he tweeted about a Muslim ban or that can...
And the extreme vetting. Mm-hmm. This was something we talked about last week. The fact that he said that there is extreme vetting in place kind of negates the argument that this is important.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is the president tweeting it, it's like, well, yeah, this is relevant. Don't you realize tweeting it?
This is a new kind of thing that was not available when I was in law school.
If only he didn't have that verified checkmark, by the way, then it could be like, I don't know who wrote that. That might have been Don Jr. That might have been Eric.
It's basically public record, and like you said, it can be used as evidence. And here's the thing: I think he is still passionate about it. He wants the win. That's what it's coming down to.
I think that's all it comes.
That's all it comes down to. And by trying to cram it in too close to the end of this session, the worry would be they would rule against them. So now it's like they're going to give themselves until the beginning of the next session and hopefully be able to do what they need to do to prepare, so they're going to have it done and then be able to hopefully get the win that they want.
And I think he's got some kind of expectation or hope that he gets to put another Supreme Court justice in before October. Mm. Because there are some teeth that are very long on that bench. I won't name any names. You know, it's always a race against time.
It'll just see what's going to go. Is a Supreme Court justice going to retire, or is Trump going to resign? What are the bettings on that?
Our friend Stuart Jared resident said, "What about Maria Menounos?" Of course, Maria Menounos. We love Maria Menounos.
Yes.
She and Kevin are really our bosses. It was just her birthday the other day, so happy birthday, Maria! And you know, these things are important to get out in there.
Right.
Storage Yard calling us out. And by the way, in the chat, Radiant Rain Fan, oh, she's gone now, says something. People need to stop complaining about everything that Trump does because he's great. That sounds like something that we heard from the cabinet meeting.
Right. And it sounds like the Kool-Aid drinking,
you know,
there.
I worked in political talk radio when President Obama was elected and sworn in and through, you know, most of those two terms. And there were a lot of people complaining about a lot of things mm-hmm. that were done. So it's what you do when you have the president, you know. Mm-hmm. You criticize what the president does that you don't like. And I know it's hard to believe that Chelsea and Scott could have things that they would say, hey, he's done this really well. But I believe that if something happened and he handled it well and he made a good decision, you'd be like, oh, I hate to say it, but
right.
President Trump did the right thing here.
I think we've done
yeah.
that like once.
I think
yeah,
I can't remember what it was.
I still have a hard time finding anything. I will say he did one good thing well. He got 60% disapproval rating, faster than any other previous president. Congratulations.
So he can get a trophy.
He did that great.
He can get a trophy.
So he did do that, and that's good on him.
The final thing that we'll talk about tonight, because we are almost out of time, it always flies by, and it's only partially because of that minute-long Kool-Aid commercial. President Trump told Republican senators lunching at the White House earlier today that the House passed health care reform bill. He celebrated earlier this year. We were talking mm-hmm. about the light beer celebration. And he said that the health care reform bill was quote unquote mean.
He's like, I finally got around to reading it.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that was mean. And he
was mean.
Yeah, Trump made clear multiple times that he was pleased the Senate negotiations appeared to be moving away from that House version of the repeal and replace effort. So,
the Freedom Caucus
he's
is
moving away
dying
from the travel ban and the repeal and replace Obamacare. The only thing that I think he's 100% stood his ground on is that Arnold Schwarzenegger was a terrible host mm-hmm. of The Apprentice. I don't think he's wavered in that. In fact, I think he feels more strongly about that now than ever. And I don't know. I think that what... Again, this isn't a matter of being surprised, Scott. When you heard that President Trump said that the health care reform and replace was mean, is it like Chelsea said? Do you think he finally read it? Is that what it came down to?
Oh, please, he hasn't read anything.
Okay. Do you think that someone...
I was giving him the benefit of
someone
the doubt.
Do you think Jared finally read it? And I'm talking about Subway Jared in jail. He has a lot of time to read legislation. No, do you think Jared Kushner read it?
Read it
was
to
like,
him at night before
like,
he goes to
maybe
bed.
Maybe
yeah, like
reading,
reading Daddy, bedtime stories.
And she doesn't really talk like this, but it's like, Daddy, it's so mean. You know, that sounds like something. Right. You know what? That tells me that Barron read it. And Barron said, because Barron would say, Daddy, that's mean. And he's like, you know what? Barron's right.
I don't know. I mean, we all may be assuming too much. Did he say that it was mean to the American people, or it was mean to health care providers or something like that?
Oh,
or
it might be really,
companies?
It's really bad for Cigna. Yeah. And I think he feels bad about that.
I mean, because that might make more
cutting
sense.
Cutting into their profits, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. As always, let us know what you think. Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at
and
sea.
And Ms. America.
Yeah, Ms. America. And
everyone in between.
And decline to state America, right. You know, because that's where we are these days. Whatever your thoughts are, please let us know at Trump Report ABTV. We started leveling off on the Twitter followers, so please follow us
let's
there.
Get those numbers up.
Yeah, and you know, we'll always post a link to the current episode of the show, so if you missed it, you'll find us on Twitter, and then you'll be able to click on through. And if you listen to the show on iTunes, please make sure you take a moment to rate, comment, and share, favorite, star, all that stuff, and it'll only take a minute. And we want to be your number one source for the Trump Report. But if not, we'll settle being below Sean Hannity in High Times.
Oh,
I'm Christian Blatt, at Christian DMZ. Joined as always by Chelsea Galicia, at Chelsea Galicia, Scott Moore at SMan80. We will be back next Tuesday. Same bat time, same bat channel, I say, as a tribute to the late, great Adam West, who we lost this week. We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.